Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing. All you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
I can't tell if I love or if I hate this idea of time block dating. Okay, I've brought all the Burt Show's youth group, as they are calling themselves, and I love that. Katie, Romeo, Abby, all single. Mo, you're on the cusp, bro.
Rebecca's also single.
Rebecca also. Mo single as well. Okay, so I get this DM. It was pretty much for us, but it came to me. And I think she's feeling the same way. Is this insulting, or is it just because this dude is really sensitive about time? Apparently, he's like a type A guy and time blocks everything.
Well, what's our most priceless commodity? You've said this time and time again.
Cold hard cash.
Okay, no. And then time.
It's time. It's always time, right? Yeah. All right, so Colleen hits me up and says, would love to get your show's take on our first date with a time limit. And I didn't even really know what that meant. I just wrote back, huh?
Like a buzzer goes off at the end, and right. It's like, all right, doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing, even if you're in the middle of your entree, got to bounce.
Yeah, people pick you up, and they literally bring you out of wherever you are. I wrote, huh? And she wrote, a mutual friend set me up with a guy she works with. She says he's a great guy, driven, capable, seems like a super nice guy, she said. And then she writes, tall, sorry, Bert, successful. He and I exchanged a few messages. Of course, I went online and I stalked him. I'm assuming he did the same thing for me. We work right down the street from each other. He suggested we meet up this week. I was really excited. When I pressed him on a time, he said, how does Wednesday at noon look? When I said, I'm free, he wrote back that he has a block between 12 and 12:15.
What?
So I wrote, I don't get it. So he wants to meet you between 12 and 12:15? And she said, I was confused too. So I said, okay, meet you between 12 and 12:15 at the Starbucks in the middle of where we both work. And he said, that's not what he meant. He has a 15-minute block on Wednesday, meaning all the time he wants to give this quote-unquote first date is 15 minutes. 15 minutes, she writes. I'm not sure how I feel about it, she writes. And I wrote, I have some thoughts about this, but let me run it by these guys. Their opinions should be interesting. So where do we want to start? 15 minutes, so Abby, for your first date.
I don't hate this at all. So when you haven't met somebody, like, I feel like most people, you can tell, like, almost instantly if you're going to gel. Like, it doesn't take a whole hour and a half date to feel out the chemistry. And so I wish this was more socially acceptable, because on dating apps, sometimes I like to ask guys to meet me while I'm already out. And I call that a vibe check, just to kind of see like if the vibes are matching up.
Like,
so
that.
This is just sort of like a workday vibe check.
Okay, so that's in theory. But if this happened to you and he said 15 minutes for our first date, are you put off by that or not?
I'd propose on the spot.
You propose on the spot. Okay.
This man's got no time for me. I love that.
Any man that doesn't have time for you is a good man.
Oh, such a turn on.
Okay. All right, Mo, this happens to you. Are you put off by it, or are you like, okay, this sounds about right?
The overthinking in me would want to know the why. Like, is it just that you don't have time for me? Is it that you're not confident and that we're going to hit it off? Is it that you're speed dating and have other options at other places? Like, what is it? I don't know if I would be willing to, like, make time out of my schedule to meet somebody for 15 minutes. Like, it's probably going to take me 15 minutes to get there. And then more time to get back, I would be turned off by it.
No, they're in the same building. So the woman,
or right down the street from each other.
So yeah, let's just say she said Starbucks in the same building, right? So she's just like a couple floors down. So you're literally going downstairs to the little cafe that we have here to meet for 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all he's got time for.
If it's in the same building, I'd do it.
Okay.
If it's in the same building, I would do it.
Katie and Romeo.
Oh, no. I wouldn't do it. Personally, no. Give me at least 30 minutes. This is not like Shark Tank. I feel like I would have to give you like a pitch or something like that. So that's why I would be against it. But I'm not mad at it because I think it's like him testing the waters. Let me see if we vibe. And if we vibe, that 15 minutes might extend. So I get where he's coming from, but would I personally accept that? No.
What an interesting analogy, though, because isn't your first date or dating your first dates like Shark Tank?
You're pitching yourself.
You're pitching yourself and presenting who you are. And, you know, your invention, quote unquote, is you. So you're pitching that to somebody, right?
Yeah, that's true. But I would be on the other end. I don't want to be the one pitching, hey, this is why you should invest in me. No, no. Why should I invest in you? The other way around.
Good afternoon, Sharks. I'm asking for an hour of your time for possibly 50% of my life.
Right. Romeo.
Yeah, no, I don't think this is a bad idea. My only problem with it, it's that it's 15 minutes. I don't think you can get to know anyone in 15 minutes. I feel like maybe 30 minutes, like if you would have said like a 30-minute span, I would have been more okay with it. But I think it's great because you have that time, you know that limit of, okay, if this is not going well, then I can dip out of here. But yeah, no, 15 minutes. And for a first date, I don't think that like that's considered a first date. What about dinner? Like you're also meeting at noon. That's a lunch date. That's not a date.
I absolutely love this idea. I really do, because I think anytime you're out with somebody new, you know in the first 15 minutes if you're vibing or not. So to have that sort of boundary, like, all right, this is only going to be 15 minutes, and then I forget which one of you guys said that, you could extend it. If things are vibing...
No. If he's a hardcore time blocker, there's no extension.
I don't know if he is or not, or if he's just setting this 15 minutes because that's all he wants to sample.
Well, you could also plan for drinks after work. Like you grab coffee, a little snack on your lunch break, and then you say, hey, actually, there's a really great bar down the street from both of our offices. Let's go to happy hour. And then you have like the rest of the day to look forward to it. I kind of love this.
How about you?
No, I mean, I'm not mad at it, honestly, especially if that's who like, at first I was like, I'm worth more than 15 minutes, but
he didn't know that.
It's not about me. Mm-hmm. He sounds like a hardcore time blocker. The way she put it, I have a 15-minute block of time from 12 to 12:15. Do you want to snag it? So yeah, I agree with Abby and Bert. I feel like out the gate, you know if you're like vibing or if there's some kind of chemistry there. And if you don't, you only wasted 15 minutes of your time.
I'm not gonna lie. If somebody told me to meet them for 15 minutes, my first thought would be, who do you think you are?
Are you kidding me? I'd show up 10 minutes late for the date, go, okay, we got five.
Dude, timer starts now.
I'm late to everything. Like, there will be no date for me.
This will be the only time you're on time. You only got 15 minutes, man.
The Bert Show.
All right, Kristen, 15 examples of girl code that women swear by.
Yeah, so I have a BuzzFeed list. 15 examples of girl code women are saying they swear by. And the article goes on in BuzzFeed to say, girl code is an unspoken set of social rules that women follow when it comes to interacting with other women. Every girl's code of conduct can vary slightly, but most women still have a set of standards that are common and extremely important among every group. You guys have guy code. We have girl code. And so this happened on Reddit, and they compiled a list of what they thought were some of the best girl codes that most women abide by. We're going to run through some.
I'm guessing the list of guy codes is about three deep, whereas with women, it's much more complex
than
that.
Don't phone my girlfriend.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Stay away from my family and my girl.
That's it.
That's all we got.
And my money. That's it. That's the three.
All right. I have 15 here.
All right, we might have to do this in two parts.
We might have to. All right, so the first one they have is letting them know if something's out of place or if they have a booger or crumb on their face, stuff like that. A lot of women won't tell you because they think it's rude or they want you to stay that way to make themselves look better. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. I always tell a woman if she's got something in sucking her teeth, if her mascara is a little bit runny. I just did it with Abby yesterday.
Yeah, and you did it with me at the Pinot party. I still had mascara tear stains from the Taylor Swift concert. And you're like, hey, you might want to get those off. And I was like, thank you, Kristen.
Does this apply to strangers also?
Yeah.
It does.
Mm-hmm. I've totally done this with a stranger before. And it's always like, hey, you got to look. Yeah, exactly. Because you want your fellow woman to look good, right?
And she's probably like, well, that's just plaque. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it.
Try not to do that to something that's
mole.
Permanent. God, do you remember when Oprah did that with Drew Brees?
No.
You don't?
No, because he has that birthmark on his cheek.
He came out to sit down. And I don't know why this is a core memory for me, and I will never be able to forget it. But yeah, he sat down and she told him he had a little something on his face. I swear.
And it was a birthmark?
It's a birthmark.
Yeah. Oh,
the video's out there.
I'm going to look that up.
It's almost as bad as when Seacrest asked that blind guy to high five him.
Oh, that's
it's
right.
It's like,
oh, no.
It's right there. It's right there together.
Isn't this in that old Austin Powers movie also when the dude has a mole on his face and Austin Powers can't stop focusing on it?
Mole, 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 mole.
Guacamole. All right, so next on this girl code list, if you see someone hating on themselves, like really being mean to themselves, be kind and lift them up. A kind sister could change someone's life. It may not be girl code, but there's something so amazing about hearing a woman older and wiser than you tell you that you are capable, amazing, or some other compliment. Woman code. Help lift each other up. Don't compete.
If a stranger said that to you, an older stranger woman said that to you, you wouldn't be offended by that?
If I was... It says if they're actively hating on themselves, like if I was doing a lot of like self-deprecation or if I was really coming down on myself and somebody stepped in to give me like a little pep talk, I'd be cool with that. Now, if I'm just standing there and apparently I look like I'm miserable and I hate my life and you start like...
Just someone randomly comes up to you and says...
Listen, it's not that bad. Yeah. I'd be like, what do I look like?
Man, I'm in the Target checkout line. I'm fine. I would appreciate a pep talk more from a woman that I don't know. Because if it's like my mom, I'm like, oh, you have to hype me up. Mm-hmm. But if a woman I don't know says it, I'm like, oh, yes, okay, I do look good. That's right.
This is personally and also in a business setting. The next one, never leave them alone at a party. One of the people on Reddit said, if we came together, we leave together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never leaving a function without my friend. And no, you can't go off with that cute guy you met. Get his number and you'll see him later.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
One person just wrote, we pee together.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Next.
Wait, let's not go past that one so fast.
Is that why the line is always that long for the women? Because y'all go in pairs?
Yes. Well, like. I don't think it's why it's always so long. I mean, we all have to pee. So I think it's just a women pee more than men thing.
Okay.
But I mean, why together? Like, are you guys talking as soon as you get in the bathroom? It's certainly not a safety issue. Like, oh, you have to help me through this restaurant.
No,
so why?
It's like an intermission. Where whatever's going on outside, you're like,
intermission.
It's like, all right, break, let's go. Yeah. And it's then like, have a little recap.
It's like you have the main group at the restaurant, and then you can all kind of tell something's going on, and it's like, hey, Katie, you want to go to the bathroom? Uh-huh. And then you go to the bathroom, you start talking smack about everybody at the table. So you should always be afraid when women leave.
All right, let's do one more here.
Okay.
We're going to be able to do this list 5 or 6 times.
I know. Our next one, if a woman seems uncomfortable or is being approached by a creepy guy, we're instant besties, and I have to talk to them right this second, preferably between them and the creepy guy. And there is a vibe that you can pick up, and women just kind of have like this knowing glance of like, help me. And I have shared this before, but I have not shared it with Abby. So my friend was at a bar and this dude was just like, I'm not going to say harassing, but just would not leave her alone. So I came up and interjected myself into conversation and I did the laugh. The laugh, which terrifies most people, especially men. And he scurried like a little rat into the darkness. So I just came up and pretended like I was joining the conversation and he said something and I went,
that's the fire marshal bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody is scurrying like roaches.
So always look out for your fellow woman.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
In case it wasn't obvious, Prince Harry did not write the entirety of his memoir. He did use a ghostwriter. And now the ghostwriter is spilling all the tea on their biggest fight that they had during the writing process. So the two were working on this really specific passage and they're on this Zoom call and it's 2 a.m. and they were talking about this part that involved Harry's grueling military exercises. I guess they had to like torture him and capture him. It was really intense. And so one of the people that was torturing him made like a horrible below the belt joke about his mom, Princess Diana. And so Harry ends up having like a mic drop moment where he says something snarky. And that's where he wants to end the passage. He's like, I really want people to know that I stood up for myself in that moment. And the ghostwriter was like, yeah, let's not do that. I don't think that's the best idea. And apparently Harry got so upset that he just refused to talk. He was just sitting on Zoom glaring into the camera. And he said, all my life, people have been belittling my intellectual capabilities. And I just want to show that I can be clever and I can stand up for myself in a really difficult moment. And so it ended up being included. I did look for the quote. I haven't bought the book, so it's not on the internet, so it looks like I'm going to have to purchase spare after this break and actually tell you what this mic drop moment was.
Yeah, I'm assuming that the person that the book is about has last say in what's in it,
yeah.
And the ghostwriter can make suggestions. I've gone through this process on a much smaller level, obviously, than this, and you have editors that help you out and stuff, and you tell them, you know, like, what you want, and then they give you suggestions. Like, they wanted my book to be way, way longer than it is, and I'm like, that's not what this is about at all. This is about only giving people the A content, so why would I write a book that's 300 pages if I only have 130 pages of things to talk about? But they don't have final say in that. Inevitably, that was his call, and she can make suggestions, but she's not the gatekeeper.
It's actually a man ghostwriter. We love our men writers here. And so I think it's just interesting because, I mean, think about how many times Harry has probably had to say no to people. Like, he probably hasn't had a lot of say over things in his life up until this point. So I can imagine, like, a lot of those emotions were coming out on that Zoom call.
Sure.
And he's like, let me have that little quote. Just let me have my moment.
I'm trying to understand why the ghostwriter didn't want to include it.
I guess we'd have to know. I mean, this is a nice way to tease the book also. Who knows if this is even true. But, yeah, it's interesting.
It definitely wasn't an interesting enough quote because I literally scoured the internet. I was like, what did this man say? And it wasn't included, so I think Harry probably thought it was better than it really was.
Yeah, that's why I was like, maybe the ghostwriter was like, that comeback's not what you think it is.
It's kind of lame. Okay, Kim Zolciak-Bierman and Croy Bierman have split after nearly 12 years of marriage. If you don't know who she is on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. She is... She's saying don't be tardy for the party. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't be tardy for the party. So good. So per court documents obtained by TMZ, they've been separated for about a week-ish. They separated on April 30th. And in the filing, Kim described her marriage as irretrievably broken with no hope of reconciliation. Mm. I don't know if that's like a common thing for divorce, but that was the statement.
That's pretty final.
Yeah.
I'm done. That's
the Taylor Swift version of we are never getting back together again. So I'm a little connected here because she and I are friendly and we've done some business together. And watching the two of them and listening to the two of them, I this was shocking to me yesterday because their chemistry really is so good. And it's a bummer, like for somebody that's gone through a divorce that knows the pain behind it, like you guys are hearing about it now, and I'm sure this is years leading up to it for them, but I never saw anything. Now, they had never had anything but amazing chemistry and respect for each other, it looked like.
Yeah, and for me, it's the six kids. You know what I mean? I mean, that's because he adopted her two daughters from the previous relationship, and then they have four kids together, so.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah, she's seeking primary physical custody of their children, and wants spousal support and the restoration of her maiden name. So she's gone, obviously, next to her married name. But I did see on Dumois, obviously, this is all unverified information, but there was a blind item that said that they were in an open relationship and the person that submitted it was hooking up with Croy, allegedly, according to the blind item, unverified information. But it makes you wonder, was it really open? I don't know.
There's been a lot of commentary on the finances, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think their house was just up for auction or something like that. Also, the Jonas Brothers, you can now listen to their voices on the app Waze. I had to download it to hear it. I've been a Google Maps girly since day one.
You didn't even know what Waze was until a month ago.
I was like, Waze? What is that? So if you want to listen to the Joe Bros on your commute to work, all you got to do is click customize your drive, select Joe Bros, and then turn on voice directions.
The Jonas Brothers would not be my first go-to as far as getting me through traffic.
What would be?
Jimmy and I have been all about Planet Earth and Blue Earth. So David Attenborough, man, you're gonna get me from A to Z.
If you could somehow AI Bob Ross's voice into directions, that might be the only thing that can calm you down.
Yeah,
it's Morgan Freeman for me.
Oh yep. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
I like Bob Ross. Every time you miss a turn, don't worry, that was just a happy little mistake. Turn left next. A major pop star with an iconic stage name says they're ready to start using a new one. I've got more for that on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Ed Sheeran is the real deal. I've been lucky enough to be able to hang out with him a couple of different times. The first time that I met him was in Vegas with Scooter Braun. It was Ed Sheeran It was that dude Psy that was huge for a while.
From Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style? That guy parties.
I bet.
Hard. Nobody can keep up with that guy. Seriously, as far as drinks go. And they're called, I think, Florida Georgia Line, but as a guy that's from Georgia, I call them Georgia Florida Line.
that's not what it says at the bar I was at last weekend.
Don't care. So I got to hang out with him, and the first time that I ever saw him, he extends his hand to say, hi, nice to meet you. And he goes, I just want to let you know I'm super hammered right now. And I appreciate that kind of honesty.
He grew up with me.
Second time was I got to go backstage and bring my kids back there. And he was so attentive to my kids hanging out with Hollis and was just so cool. Really, really genuine guy. And we've had a chance to talk to him a couple of different times. And he's always, and Kristen as well, always just like, unaffected. One of these celebrities is sort of unaffected by celebrity, like Kelly Clarkson.
Exactly. I've had the opportunity to interview him multiple times, and he is just the chillest, easiest, nicest interview.
And now he's got a new album out, and there's a lot to chew on with this album here. We're going to have to play this in two different parts. He talks about how critics generally hate his freaking albums, and he can't really figure out why. And also, this album was not supposed to sound like this at all. He had written it, it was ready to go, and then he's had a lot of life experience the last year, so he's like, I gotta scrap that, and I'm gonna come from my heart. So, Ed Sheeran on The Bert Show.
Hi, I'm Ed Sheeran.
Just dancing with my eyes closed. Ooh, I love it when you do it like that, and when you're close up, give me the shivers.
Do my best.
Hey guys, how are you?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are you?
I'm very tired, but very happy.
I have no doubt, man. Let's just jump right in. So this is the morning after the verdict where a court said, yeah, Ed, you're right. You didn't steal any of Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On to make Thinking Out Loud. Look, there's got to be mixed feelings when a verdict like that comes down, right?
No. I don't think there's anything mixed about it. I think I was relieved and happy that the truth was heard.
Well, there's great stuff going on also. I mean, more great stuff, I should say. The album is out now, Subtract. The reviews are already coming in. Do you even pay attention to reviews?
I mean, like, this time is different because people actually like it. So yeah, people are sending me really, really lovely reviews, or like my brother sent me a screenshot of a 5-star review in England. But usually, like, I've never been someone that critics like. And I don't want to sit down and read loads of things about people ridiculing my craft. So I've never really cared about them or read them. But obviously, like, if someone likes something and say they like something that I've created, I obviously would love to see that, fan or critic. Like, if someone's like, we like it, and I don't want that to sound like a weird thing. I obviously know that you have to be impartial sometimes, but I personally wouldn't sit down and read 20 things of people that hate me. That's not a weird thing to say. You know, sure. I don't want to spend my time reading things by people who don't like me.
Not that it even matters at all, but why do you think that critics, you said they don't really like my stuff all that much usually. Any understanding of why?
I'm pretty sure Subtract is my first 5-star review. I'm pretty sure that's like, I don't think I've ever had a 5-star review before.
And what do you think it is about this album that, and again, critics, man, that they drive me crazy, but what do you think it is with this one that connected with them that others did it?
I think there's a bunch of things. I think it's a cohesive record made with one producer, and that's something I've never done before. It's difficult for me to say this because every album I make comes from real emotion and real stories, but I think this is coming from a place of like real darkness. And I think everyone can relate to that. Everyone has lost someone close to them. Everyone has felt low at times and not been able to explain it. And it's a bit more like, I don't know, I feel like a song like Galway Girl doesn't do that for people. You know, Galway Girl's a fun song that you get up and dance to. But in terms of like, I've never had a record that you just put on and it just is what it is. You just, you hear the album. Like, I don't personally see any singles jumping off this record. It's just like, but I see the record being an important album. People will listen to it as an album rather than like Divide It was like Shape of You and Perfect and Castle on the Hill, and people would listen to those songs and then maybe the album. But this one feels like an album.
As I understand it, like initially this was supposed to be a completely different album, and then you kind of scrapped those songs because you had so much life experience happen over the last year. Is that right?
Yeah, I just felt like if I'm going to put out a record, like all my records have been like timestamps of who I am and where I am. And it just felt urgent to put it out. I made it and I was like, I have to put this out. Like just even from a processing point of view of just like put it out and move on. That's kind of what I feel like. You know, you read the Prince Harry book that he did. I think that is him processing everything and putting it out and leaving it in the past. And I think that there's something in that, in making something, putting it out and moving on, you know?
All right, so that's where it all starts with Ed Sheeran right there. Later on in the show, if you're an Ed Sheeran fan, even if you're not, I think you're going to like what he has to say here. He's learned a lot from this last year. There have been so many highs and lows. He had a good friend pass away on him. His wife was diagnosed with cancer. He talks about that. And then having to relive it night after night after night on stage in his songs. I was wondering how he got through that. And he answered everything honestly. So Ed Sheeran later on in the Burt Show as well.
The Burt Show.
All right, so this started out as a really good deed, I think, for Mother's Day. And she's wondering if she's taken it too far to now to the point where she's kind of being an a-hole about things.
Reminder, Sunday, this Sunday is Mother's Day.
Someone out there listening right now is going, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
That one snuck up on me.
Mm-hmm.
Save somebody.
Yep. Yep. Sunday, this Sunday is Mother's Day.
Yep.
Bart. Go ahead.
You know he knows.
Hey, Burt Show. P1 here all the way up in Canada, eh? Okay, here's my dilemma. So my niece passed away 9 years ago at the age of 19. She was the only child of my aunt whose divorce was finalized the same day her daughter passed.
Oh, gosh.
I don't do well with words, and I couldn't imagine the heartbreak and pain she has to carry. So I've been leaving Mother's Day flowers on her porch under the cover of dark in secret for the last 9 years in memory of her daughter. Once a mother, always a mother. And she has no clue who's doing it. So here's the dilemma. I recently told one friend of mine what I've been doing, and she said that maybe I'm an a-hole for doing so and opening her up to a whole lot of pain and hurt on this particular day. So as Mother's Day is approaching, I'm wondering if I'm hurting her more than anything else and if I should stop doing this tradition. I would appreciate all opinions. I don't know what to do anymore. I don't want to hurt her. Please help.
That's interesting. You guys have a take on this? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. It's not like mom has forgotten that she had a daughter, right?
And on Mother's Day.
That, of course.
Whether you think these flowers are going to spark the pain is going to be there regardless. Right.
So is it a beautiful gesture?
I think it is, personally. So I'm not sure the friend that is weighing in what her history is and why she would think that her aunt would be scarred, or not scarred, but hurt by this gesture. If this is your family, if she didn't want to receive those flowers and it was something that was paining her, I would think she would vocalize that to the family, like, those flowers arrived again. And you know what I mean? Like, I think she would say something to either her, not knowing it was her, but would say something to somebody like that, this is really devastating and this is like opening the wound. And I don't understand why somebody is doing this. Whereas if she's never once in the past 9 years said anything like that, I think you keep up with the tradition. I think it's very sweet. I think she is, I think she's going to experience pain on Mother's Day, justfully so. And I think your small gesture is a way to let her know that you're not alone. I'm thinking of you, and you don't have to suffer alone.
What do you think, Mel?
Everybody's different, but a similar situation is kind of similar to this one. My best friend passed away when we were 18. And ever since then, every single time I am in her town, I go to see his mom just to stop by and see how she's doing. And I take her flowers. And one day I actually asked her this because I thought the same thing. And she told me every single time you are in town, you stop by this house. That, like, period. That's what you do. Because she told me it makes her feel better to know that someone else is missing her son and loved her son the same way that she does. And so I think it's a great thing and a great
gesture. Interesting. Okay. Can it go too far, though? Like, it's just too many years.
That's a good question. If maybe, but I haven't gotten to that point yet. She still welcomes me like I'm her own every single time I go.
Your grief is forever. There's never too many years.
Yeah, I don't think it's a-holy at all. I would just wonder why. Like, I think that's so sweet that you show up on her doorstep. You're there with her, showing that you really cared about her son. I almost wonder why she wouldn't want to go and bring these flowers in person. But I don't think there's anything a-holy about leaving a sweet gesture to make sure that she's remembered.
Now, if she was signing them, like, with her daughter's name or something like that, then that is completely different.
That's not what we're talking about
But
here.
If you're just leaving an anonymous bouquet of Mother's Day flowers on the door, I personally would be moved by that because it's a quiet gesture. So I don't have to, how do you want to put this? Because people do things for you and then you feel obligated to be like not overly grateful, but it puts pressure on you when you're already emotionally strapped to make them feel good about what they did. But in this instance, it's just she's waking up to flowers on her doorstep. She has no idea who they're from, so she doesn't have to exert any energy to thank somebody or make them feel special. I actually think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it's pretty beautiful.
The Burt Show.
Y'all busted, punk. She busted her boyfriend cheating with his coworker. Now she's wondering, should she give him another shot or not? We will get to that email here in just 1 second, but a warning. If you are going to subscribe to Burt Show bonus content this week, it's a little NC-17, at least one of them.
One of them is.
Yeah, I had questions. We came off the air when we were talking about dude hooking up with his best friend and his wife. I had questions. And I asked him during the bonus content, but it's a little adult. So if you're cruising
she's
around,
pregnant and she doesn't know who the baby daddy is.
I got problems, okay? Real problems with that whole thing. And Kristen stuck up for men on the bonus content this week also. TheBurtShow.com/bonusBS. All right, ditch or date. All right, so she busted her boyfriend cheating with a coworker. Now she's wondering, should I just let this guy go or not?
I'm a longtime listener from Canada who mostly watches you guys on Facebook. I'm a 28-year-old female, and I respect all your advice and honesty so much.
Is that two emails we got from Canada today?
Yeah.
Yeah, eh?
Kristen, that's just... this is... You should be overjoyed. Anything international.
I know. However, they are attached to us. So it's exciting, but, like, not quite as exciting as Australia. Right,
so if we share a border, then, like, if we get an email from Canada or Mexico,
It's really, really cool, eh? Okay. But those ones from, like, Europe just hit a little different. Okay. You got to cross water to get there.
Right. And I also don't have a best friend that I feel comfortable talking about this with who will also pick up my damn phone calls. Well, I just found out my 27-year-old boyfriend of 1.5 years is cheating on me with a part-time coworker. She is temporary and will be leaving soon.
Not it's a part-time enough. Employee, so it doesn't even count.
Oh,
she's not a full-time employee, so it's not infidelity.
Okay.
Read the guidelines.
My boyfriend and I met at work about 2 years ago. I had just gotten out of a 2-year relationship and had just gotten back to work after a serious mental health crisis. It took me 3 months before I wanted to date again. I'm bisexual, so after years of failed relationships with men, I decided to only have my preferences set for women on dating apps. Until I really started crushing on my boyfriend. I decided to pathetically shoot my shot and give him homemade cookies that I only shared with close coworkers as a Christmas treat. I wrote a silly apology for making fun of the country music I had been teasing him about, my attempt at flirting, and wrote love at the end instead of from.
Ooh. Wow, she's really gone all out here. Food, country music. Yep.
It worked. And he asked for my number the next day, and we started dating really quickly. By June, I had to make a big and scary decision to move in with him to save money. Southern Ontario, rent is atrocious.
Oh, tell me.
When's the last time you were in Ontario?
I couldn't even point to it on a map. I'm going to Banff in a couple of weeks. I don't even know where that is.
I was spending more than half my biweekly income on rent. I honestly had no doubts that I made the right decision until this evening, about 2 hours ago. For a few days, I've been noticing he was on his phone a lot. He was not scrolling. He was texting someone. He's very close with his sisters, so I was hoping and praying that he was talking to one of them. Nope. Tonight, when he passed out, per usual, I decided to go through his phone, and for the first time ever, we know each other's passwords to everything. Anyways, I found out he's sexting.
Oh, I did not see this coming.
With a coworker he previously told me was annoying and talked crap about everyone.
This is not the kind of stuff that happens in Canada.
Unfortunately, it does. And the plot thickens because he purposely told her this person was annoying and she talked crap about everyone so as to not, like, get her spidey senses up.
Camouflage.
That's the game. Yeah.
Infidelity camouflage.
Little deflection. I read some of his texts and found out they definitely did things. Not piano playing, but she did play his bongo. Okay. All right.
That's a bongo.
Wait. I wasn't ready. Okay. I threw the phone at him, and he woke up and was trying to make some excuses. But I have ADHD and process things slowly sometime, and I was in shock. I left to get some air. Literally couldn't even cry. He told me immediately he was sorry, and it was a mistake, and seemed more scared to lose me than he was sorry. I just told him I need space, and here I am writing this email. I'm heartbroken. He's the only person I have ever been with who I want to marry. I have overlooked all his flaws because of all the wonderful things he does for me and the way he treats me. So amazing. We have always talked about the future together, but now I cannot trust him. I can't even look at him. Should I forgive him or just move out and move on? I'm usually someone who moves on quickly. I want to have kids one day, and I'm wondering now if I really want to have them with this guy. I feel like I don't even know, but he made me feel like I knew he made me feel like I knew his soul. I feel sick thinking about this. Why do people stay with cheaters? Is it worth it? What are the stats on reoffenders? I feel like an idiot. Help.
A year and a half into this relationship, do you let it go because he had this quote-unquote one mistake, or do you stick with it?
For me, I personally couldn't stick with it. Statistically, most people will not cheat on you. And so the fact that it's even happening is a huge, it's not even a red flag to me. It's like a stop sign. It's like a get out of your zone. I also am still stuck on the bongo. I'm still trying to figure out what that innuendo is.
We'll explain it to you. I think I got it loud
when
and clear.
When a mommy very and well. A daddy. So I did an episode with a genetic scientist where he talked about like the stats on cheating and actually like the science of why people do it.
This is on Breakup Breakdown?
This is on the Breakup Breakdown podcast. It's an episode called, I'll link it on my Instagram story, but I talked to this guy named Mackin Murphy, and he talked about how like your genetics actually can influence you to cheat. So if you're with somebody who is cheating, it's like genetically ingrained in them. Huh. So like if you're
that's not promising for second chances.
It's not promising for a second chance, but he did go on to say in that particular episode that like if somebody does it once, if they get into a new relationship, there's like a 50% chance that they'll do it. So it's like 50-50, but you know, not 100%. Mm-hmm. So for me, this would be a no-no.
Yeah, this would be a ditch for me, too. I mean, I personally can't tolerate cheating. I can't do it. I would know that about myself because I would overthink it. Everything would change. I would never be able to look at the person the same. And even if I were to think about trying to forgive somebody, you would have to come back with more than it was a mistake. I do not like that response. It's not a mistake. That's not a mistake. I don't like when people say that. So for me, this would be a ditch.
I'm with you. It's not one lie here we're talking about. It's a whole bunch of lies, mm-hmm. really, right?
Yeah, the way he said he was talking smack about the coworker to like deflect at what he was doing. Personally, I feel like you need to get your post-infidelity perks first. So make his ass pay, like get some nice dinners, get some jewelry, get some things.
Have him play your bongo.
Yeah, you know, if he's good at that. And then
she don't get it.
Don't work like that. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Get yours and then tell him to kick rocks.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The Weeknd just revealed he doesn't want to be The Weeknd anymore. So in a recent interview, he admitted that he's ready to retire his stage name. He says he's going through a cathartic path right now. He's getting to a place in time where he's ready to close the chapter of being The Weeknd.
So he's just going
to
be Abel?
Yeah, he says he still wants to make music. He says maybe as Abel, maybe as The Weeknd, but he wants to kill the character at some point. He says he wants to literally, I know. And so the past like couple years of his music, I feel like he's been telling a story through his music videos and through his performances where he's sort of making a mockery of like the celebrity of it all. Mm-hmm. He has that one music video where he has so much prosthetics on him that it looks like he had terrible plastic surgery. Mm-hmm. So it sort of seems like he's coming to a point where he's over being the brand, and maybe he's ready to have like an Ed Sheeran moment where he has an album that is just Abel, or maybe he has a different stage name where he's like The Weekdays or something and it's more chill.
Please refer to me as Tuesday from here on out.
Save that.
But he says at some point he wants to shed the skin of being The Weeknd, but we'll still continue making music, which I know a lot of people will be relieved about.
Yeah, I think a lot of artists go through this kind of thing. I think Miley Cyrus went through it not so long ago also, where she's just like, I don't want to do this pop. This is not who I am. This is what makes me money, and this is what is pop culture, and this is what is mainstream, but I'm a rocker.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like they once they step aside and they take a step back from it all. So like, for example, I'll use Taylor Swift as an example. She had those two albums that were more folklore-y, more, you know, chill. And then she was like, wait a second, I actually kind of miss this pop star thing. I think it can get exhausting, but I think at some point, like if you've been a big enough celebrity for that long of time, like The Weeknd or Ed Sheeran, you're going to want to come back to it at some point.
Makes sense.
Okay. It looks like Shakira is ready to move on from her ex of 12 years.
What the hell was that?
Wait a minute.
Did you just have a stroke?
You all right?
Was that?
That's my Shakira impersonation.
Let's hear
one more time. That is not Shakira.
That's a donkey.
That is Eddie Murphy and Shrek. Yes.
I don't even like Shakira all that much, and I'm offended for it.
Maybe I've been reading the wonky donkey to Jimmy too much at night.
I think it's a little bit more like, ole, 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 ole.
Oh, that's good.
It's the closest. Yeah.
You gotta like swallow your uvula.
Try it. Everybody stop. No.
Bird, come on. Give me your best Shakira.
I'm not engaging in this before.
I don't have it.
Since when?
I can't disrespect Shakira like that.
These hips be lying.
So she and Tom Cruise were posing for photos at F1 in Miami. This is coming off a huge win for her. She was just honored at the as the first woman of the year at the Latin Women in Music Gala. And she actually slammed her ex.
What a great way to get back at the ex, though, who is like dumped Shakira for somebody way younger that sort of looks like Shakira, too, I think.
Yeah, a little reminiscent.
And it's been kind of petty between the two of them.
A little.
A lot.
Okay.
Okay. The slam dunk is if you end up like upgrading from a professional soccer player, which isn't easy to do. Tom Cruise does it.
No, that's not an upgrade.
No?
No.
You don't think?
No.
Why?
Tom Cruise is weird.
Yeah.
The one that just went, you. Just calling somebody else weird.
Facts. Yes, I am. Come on now. He's a little odd, right?
Yeah.
He's very intense. He's a prolific actor. I am not taking away from that. What? Yes.
Is this a Scientology thing you're talking about?
That plays a little part in it, but he's weird.
He's odd.
Katie Holmes didn't seem too happy in that marriage. So
Nicole Kidman didn't either. Like, these women, when they got out of this marriage with him, they looked like they had fought World War III. And that doesn't speak volumes of them. It speaks volumes of him.
I think he's an intense dude, and he's just like a guy that, yeah, you're probably right. I don't know about weird, because we're all weird.
Yes.
But I think he is so intense that it could definitely take it out of you if you're in a committed relationship, intimate with him, for sure.
Yeah, so thoughts and prayers for Shakira. Let's hope she can ole, ole, ole our way out of this.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this is a little bit of a spoiler, but not really a bit of a spoiler. But if you're like obsessed with the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, just, you know, turn the knob down for a second. So some stars have made some unexpected cameos in the final installment of the movie. So on Sunday, the director of the latest Guardians of the Galaxy film, he confirmed that Pete Davidson actually voices the character of Flectic. Which sounds like I just coughed or something, but Pete Davidson is a cameo, and also Sylvester Stallone as well. Isn't that crazy? Wow.
I think it's James Gunn you're talking about, and I think he said this is the last one he's doing of these. I read a headline yesterday that said he put the whole thing together in like 3 hours.
3 hours?
He's not in it. He wanted the cash.
A bunch of A-list celebs are delaying Britney Spears' memoir. I'll tell you what they've got to do with it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
So there you are at the mall with your new boyfriend. You guys are doing some shopping, and you run into your ex while you're with your current. And then all of a sudden, this shot of not only adrenaline, but also like a small attraction comes back to you, right? Can you fully embrace your new relationship if those feelings are real?
I feel like this debate has been going on forever. And me and my two dudes got into a debate about this after I witnessed one of my friends go through it in real time. And now I'm kind of confused on which side of it to be on because of the way that the two of them debated this for like a full hour. And it started because a friend of mine, well, we were all out, like a group thing. And a friend of mine was with his new love interest. They've been dating. It's not been too long, but it's going on like about a year. So it's long. It's long enough. And we all went to this place to celebrate one of his accomplishments. Now, I don't know exactly why his ex was there, but his ex was there.
Was she invited or did she just happen to be there at the same location?
He says she just happened to be there.
Okay. Mm.
And I believe him because I don't think he would have put himself in this position.
Yeah.
To where it would have, like, probably messed up something with his new interest.
Unless somebody invited her without him knowing?
Which is possible. Mm-hmm. That was a whole nother situation that we were trying to figure out. But she claims that it was a coincidence, and that's what I guess he was running with. But the issue was, as the night started to progress, like, at first it was like an awkward thing of, you know, wow, what is she doing here? How is this going to go? And his new girl didn't know. Like, she doesn't know what his ex looks like. So for a while, she didn't even know she was there.
That's for the best.
Right. So I'm kind of like, I'm enjoying it because I know and he knows and my other friend knows, but everybody else doesn't know. So you could literally see just like the tension and just everything wash over him the moment he puts together what's going on. So I guess she kind of pondered on what the right thing to do was in this situation for a while, on if she should come say hello or if she shouldn't. And she actually asked me. She was like, you know, should I say hello? Or what do you think I should do? I said, let him come say hello. And if he doesn't, then let it be. Yeah. Like, there's no need to go over there and, you know, let him do his thing.
Solid advice.
She ain't take it.
Okay. Classic.
She, next thing I know, I saw her walking over and I was like, well, here we go. Mm-hmm. And she taps him on the shoulder. Mm-hmm.
All right. So just want to throw this out there as a possibility. I don't think he invited her, but his friends knew. Do you think she found out this was going down and she just happened to be at the same spot?
It's a lot of places in this city.
It is.
To just be hanging out.
That's what I think happened.
Okay, like she found out through like third parties or whatever that he was having this like small intimate gathering to celebrate a success. And she's like, well, maybe I'll just happen to be at the same restaurant at the same time on the same night.
Now, bingo. If not, and she really was just there randomly, isn't that the universe putting them together?
Possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah, if it's random.
I think her middle name might be Universe.
Because there's a lot of places in this town.
That's true.
There's a lot of time in the day to be there at that exact time. Either that's calculated or it's the universe.
And we did think about that when we were trying to figure out if this was kind of like something that was meant to be. So the fact that she walked over there and spoke to him is what made me think that you're right, Kristen, that she probably mapped this entire thing out. She didn't make a scene of it or anything, but she just said hello. Now, I don't think she anticipated him being there with a new girl. I think she figured he would have just been alone or with his boys, and maybe she can, you know, see what's going on.
Do you know if she's dating anybody?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So she walks over, she says hello, and it was very awkward. So awkward to the fact where I was making fun of my friend because I'm like, you could have played that off, like, a little better, but he didn't play it off well at all. You can tell he was like disheveled. He was thrown off.
Yeah.
So the new girl was like, what was that about? And then he did something else I didn't think he should have did. He was honest and he told the truth.
Don't do that.
No,
don't
you do have that. To if she
I don't
asked
know why
you.
I did that.
Yeah, no. 3%, man. There's 3% lies in a relationship.
No,
that's fine.
Those are little white lies. That would be a big lie if he sat there and told her, oh, it's just some girl I know from work. No, you have to be honest.
Back in the day.
No.
Yeah. I would just tell her somebody I knew back in the day. drinks. I would have gave her the details later. He gave them to her right there. And
was it a bad breakup?
No,
okay.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just one of those like we're not for each other kind of things. And the rest of the night, you can just feel everything shifted. Like his focus was kind of on her. The new girl's focus was kind of on her.
Well, yeah, duh. I'm going to have laser eyes on her for the rest of the evening.
Right. And she sat like not next to us, but from a distance to where you could see we could see each other from where we were both sitting. And I don't know how much his girl noticed it. But I noticed it, like he kept looking over there. At first, I thought it was like a uncomfortable thing of like, what is she doing? Where is she?
Mm-hmm.
But the more he was looking and the more we were drinking, I was like, no, those are I know those eyes.
Longing?
Huh?
Longing?
Yes. Those are spin the block bedroom eyes. I know them. And so I kind of actually tapped them when I had a chance to and went, hey, man, stop looking at your old girl as much. Like, you, like women pick up on that very, very easily.
I was going to ask you if you smacked him upside his head.
I hit him on the knee.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'm not doing that. It was so obvious. So, of course, by the time they got home, they got into an argument over it. And then that's where it all started, of where she felt like, you can't be that into me if you were sitting in there still looking at her the way you were looking at her.
Mm. I agree with that.
He feels like two things can be true. And that's where the debate started, of I am into you. I want to be with you. That just threw me off. And yes, we have a history. We had a chemistry. So a part of him, I guess, still likes her. But he doesn't desire her. That was his thing. I don't want to be with her, but I can't sit here and act like I don't still have something for her. That would be a lie.
I respect that.
But I want to be where I am. And he feels like both of those things can be true, which kind of turned me because I was with you, Bert. I'm like, nah, you can't have somebody new and still have a... But the way he broke it down in such a mature way of like, I'll always have something with her. It's like, she had a piece of my heart. It is what it is. It was real. But ultimately, I'm going for a reason. I chose you. So he doesn't feel like because I may have had a moment of, wow, she looked good tonight and a little flashback, that doesn't necessarily mean that he is not completely 100% committed to his new girl.
Especially that's the first time they've crossed paths since the breakup, which I'm assuming it is.
It is.
Okay.
And I've never heard him like mention her or really talk about it. Cause I did talk about him after and I'm like, be honest. Like, what? And he's like, you know, I don't want to go back. He's like, I'm not going to sit here and say as a man, if we had a moment, I would, but he ain't tell his new girl that.
Yeah, of course.
Right. But he's saying, I don't want to be with her, though. That's my past.
I'm still attracted to her, but I don't want to be with her.
Right.
I'm out.
It brought up some feelings.
That's all I need to hear,
man. You would be gone.
Yeah. I mean, if he's being authentic and he's still like, let's say 25% of his heart, because he said that she'll always have a piece of my heart. Well, how much? 25%? 25% is too much. It's got to be 2%. Yeah. And no more than 2%.
You would need the numbers.
Yes.
Okay.
You're like a gallon of milk over there.
Skim. No. I'm looking for no fat. No love. No attraction. All right, I'm out.
The Bird Show.
All right, Scarlett here is really confused here because it took her a long time to finally build up the nerve to ask this dude out. She did. She thought it went great. So why is this dude ghosting her? Hey, Scarlett.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you? Besides confused.
Besides confused, I'm doing fine.
All right. Tell us about this dude. What made him so attractive and why you were so scared to ask him out in the first place?
Well, okay. So we worked together and basically from the very first day I started, he has been on my radar. He is tall. He's handsome. He's tan. He's got curls. Oh, he's adorable. He's adorable. And every time I look at him, I get like shaky. My palms get sweaty. It's like the weirdest thing for the last couple of years. He just makes me that kind of nervous.
He's your crush.
Yeah, he is. Mm. Oh my God. Okay, so I decided that I was going to leave this job, you know, because we work at a restaurant, we wait tables, and it's great and all, it's good money, but also I feel like I'm kind of old enough to, like, start a career now, and I figured, you know, I should just shoot my shot now and ask him if he wanted to go out with me, and I did it.
Good for you.
And I'm very proud. I'm very proud of myself that I did it. And he said yes, which I totally was not prepared for. I figured he was going to tell me no. I was making up all of these, you know, reasons why he would tell me no in my head, but he didn't tell me no.
When you asked him and he said yes, did you go, really?
No, I didn't.
Did you understand the question? Like, really? You really want to go? Really?
I didn't. I was just like, oh, okay. And I actually went to the bathroom and like had a panic attack, but I was very excited about it.
All right. So you guys finally go out.
You shot your shot.
Shot your shot. And where do you go? Yeah. And tell us a little bit about the night that's making you so confused now.
So we went out to dinner and dinner was great. Conversation was great. You know, I had a little bit of a drink to calm my nerves a little bit, but I wasn't like totally like, you know, just a little something because I don't really do alcohol. And I thought the conversation was really well. I thought the date was really well. He was very much a gentleman. He pulled out my chair. He walked me to my car, and he kissed me on my cheek. Which, for some people, is not a big deal. It's a big deal for me, considering I've been crushing on this guy for years. Yeah.
So you actually felt his lips press up against your cheek.
And he was a total gentleman. Everything was going great. He checked out all the boxes.
He checked all the boxes, and he smelled really good, too.
That's a plus. Mm-hmm. At the end of the date, was there any, like future agreement made or, like, thrown out there about future plans? Like, let's do this again soon, or I'll text you, anything like that?
I think I said I had a great time. We should do this again soon. And he said, sure. And then the next day I texted him. I said, thank you so much for yesterday. You know, I had a really great time. He said he had a really great time as well. But he didn't initiate a second date. And I didn't want to initiate it since I initiated the first one.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Right.
So here you are kind of miffed because everything went so well. How did the date end again? It was just a kiss on the cheek and a, hey, see you soon?
It was a kiss on the cheek and had a great time. See you soon. Because I hadn't left the job yet either.
So, this could very well be just like, so I've had this happen to me in the past too. I consider myself a good conversationalist, right? Others would call it BSing. So if I wasn't having a fantastic time on a date, you wouldn't even know it. I mean, I can keep conversation going. I'm having an okay time, but in the back of my mind, I also know that this is the last time that this is going to happen. So maybe it's just one of those things.
And for you guys who, like everybody in here who's been on like first dates, if you really like somebody, will you give him like a genuine kiss on the first date?
If the vibes were there. Oh, no.
You don't kiss on the first date?
I wouldn't initiate it on the first date unless I was like 100% sure she wanted me to. Just because I feel like if you overkiss as a guy, like you blow it.
Because I remember Bart and I, my husband, now husband, who I've been with for 16 years, our very first date, I still remember that kiss like it was yesterday.
Really?
Oh, it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine and Tiff also, awesome first kiss. Yeah, it said a lot. But I've also been on the receiving end of going in for a kiss and getting denied, and that kind of pain and rejection never goes away.
Yeah, I never wanted to experience that. Right. I'm terrified of it.
So I will wait and wait and wait and wait like Mo until that, it's not a green light. It's got to be like this huge spotlight green light to go in for the kiss. All right, Scarlett, so give us a couple of minutes here because Tommy, our show director, did reach out to this dude and we got answers for you on why he's kind of ghosted you and there has been no second date, okay?
Okay.
All right, hang out with us. Burt Show second date update coming up next.
The Burt Show.
There is a lot of hate being directed towards Katie and I at Blue Moon Pizza.
This place.
Oh, no.
Again.
Again. Why don't you guys just stay away from this place?
We should, but it's convenient because it's right there.
It's right.
That's the only reason we go.
Two doors down, so might as well go on over. Okay.
Exactly. Now, the hate is coming from people that frequent Blue Moon, but for completely different reasons. So I think Katie might be in a situation where, like, you've had a friend, someone close to you, constantly tell you about how they're receiving hate from someone else or from a place, and then you actually, like, meet the other people who they're saying is hating on them, and then you start to question if it's really them or if it's actually your friend. Experience this kind of situation.
Like, they seem so nice. How can they possibly be this mean to you?
Exactly that. So I experienced this with Katie, but it was after I won, which is a brag on myself. So there's a lot of hate coming my way at Blue Moon because there was a TV that went down, and everybody had an opportunity to guess. Like, everyone who comes all the time got an opportunity to guess when the TV would be back on. And if you won some free meals, you won a few things.
That's a way to make a bad situation a little more, you know, a little better, more fun.
Right. So everybody took their guesses. I was having a rough day that day, so I just kind of gave a day, and I didn't think twice about it. And then the next day I walked in, there was like a whole, hey, Mo's the winner, that type of thing going on. But I realized, like, nobody was cheering for me. Everybody was kind of just looking at me like they were mad about it. And then I found out that I was, like, public enemy number one in there because they think that I won because they just let me win. They don't actually think that I picked the right day. But of all of the days that you can pick, I actually picked the right day that the TV came on.
They thought maybe you were a regular, so they were playing to you or something. They wanted you to win.
Exactly that.
Always a controversy.
It'd be hate, right?
Right.
So this day is like now it's a day of celebration. Everybody's kind of in a good mood and we're chilling. And Katie and Romeo have come on the show and talked about a lot about how they have this beef with these other members that would come and show up. And I don't remember when it started, but I never really met them. I just
like stealing
always...
stealing bar seats and stealing the attention of the bartender.
Right. So there was two guys it started off with initially, I believe, and I think one doesn't come as much anymore, but the other one does. So a lot of the times when I go in there, like, they'll be sitting right next to us, and then Katie will be sitting, and then I'm, like, kind of sliding in the middle, and I always just kind of felt like I was in the middle of this beef. And I never really spoke to them. I did not speak to them, but I didn't speak either. Because there was one day when I was by myself and I was walking home and they gave me like a side eye, almost as if they kind of felt like, well, I know like Katie is beefing with us and he's with Katie, so he's probably beefing with us too.
Mm-hmm.
So I never spoke to him. So
you're guilty by association.
Exactly that.
I'll do that. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if somebody talks enough crap and they're my friends, I won't even give the other person a time of day.
Same.
Yeah.
So I never really, like, it was, I literally sit right next to each other, backs to each other, as if we have, like, real life beef, and I don't even know what the beef is over, but whatever, right? So I'm sitting there with Katie the other day as like, after I won the meal, and I'm just like, Katie, I'm starting to think, like, that these guys are not really bad guys. And he's like, I don't know. They better not just be in my seats. That's all I know. And then I see the two guys, like, talking and engaging. And then the next thing I know, the dude, like, comes up to me, gives me a handshake, introduces himself to me, gives me a gift, gives me a nice little parting gift to take with me. This out of nowhere. I don't even know why this is happening. And then the bartender kind of looks up and goes, oh, that's nice. Maybe you should go to Mo's show, too. He's like, when's your show, dude? I'll pull up. I'll support you. I'll be there. I'll bring people. I'll do whatever you need for support. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm looking at Katie like, what's your problem?
What a nice guy this
guy. What an amazing guy this dude is. So I realized in that moment that all of this time that Katie and Romeo have come in here and said that they have beef at Blue Moon, it is no longer my beef. This guy is amazing. He's actually top five people I've met in my life. Like, this man is incredible. So I found out the other day that the beef is not them. It's actually coming from in the house. It is Katie.
So you actually don't like Romeo and Katie anymore?
No.
Because
no.
You like this guy so much?
I'd be willing to trade at this point. The man gave me a parting gift, and I only knew him for 5 minutes. Like, that's way better than anything I've ever got from Katie Robia.
Hi, Cassie tried to school me the other day and us about what icks are, right?
Yeah, so icks are like things, and Abby had brought in a list of the ones that she had seen on dating apps, and they're really, like, they're not red flags, right? They're like tiny baby red flags. They're just, it's not enough to be a deal breaker, but it's not enough to be a total turn off, but it's enough to make you go, ugh. So, like, not tipping 20% for me is an ick.
Okay.
Like, ugh. I'm not going to not date you because we could probably fix that. Uh-huh. But, you know, using the term, here's a random one, using the term alpha to describe yourself, I just, like, if you're an alpha, everybody knows you don't need to say it.
So little turnoffs then.
Yeah, a limp handshake gives me the ick. Or calling women females. I really hate that one. Actually, that's probably more than an ick. That's probably, like, a closer to a deal breaker. But I think, Abby, you had the perfect way of describing it earlier too.
It's sort of like things that make you cringe. Mm. So in a romantic setting, it's sort of like, it's not really a turn off, but it doesn't really put you in the mood. And then just kind of like with life in general, just makes you go, ugh.
Mm. Enough icks together will equal a red flag.
That's how the formula goes. Yes, mine are big icks.
They are?
Yes.
Okay. Because
we're not like, we didn't do this for society in general, right? Not because pertaining to dating. So mine are people who litter. Looking at you beach a-holes who left your trash on the beach. Looking at you cigarette butt a-hole chucking your cigarette butts out the window. That is an ick.
Is it? Or is that more than an ick?
Well, no. It's up to Kristen. That's an ick for her. Yeah, okay. I don't like litterers either, but...
Everybody's ick is different.
Mm-hmm. Slow walkers in the crosswalk looking at their phone, especially if they are pushing a stroller or walking a dog. Multiple infractions here. One, pick up the pace. And two, head on a swivel. You're in traffic with precious cargo. Get your head in the game and out of your phone. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it when people are walking their dogs in a crosswalk and they got their head on their phone and I'm like, what happens if the dog gets hit by your car? You're not paying attention.
I'm going to add to that on the phone one, because it just came to me, you guys that are sitting on the benches in the gym your phone.
Oh, yeah.
On your phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, give up your equipment.
People who don't pick up after their dogs, but there is a special subset. Looking at you, tiny dog owner, a-hole who allowed their shih tzu to crap on the actual sidewalk and did not clean it up. You're nasty. And then my bonus ick. grocery store grazer. Looking at you, nomming on an olive. Treat the salad bar with respect, you gremlin. I don't know where your hands been. Those are my icks.
All right. That was great.
That's a good ick.
Very passionate. Who's up next?
Kristen, you just reminded me of an ick that I don't have on my list, but you know when you're browsing at like Target or a grocery store and someone just kind of comes into your personal space while you're like looking at the yogurts or something? Mm-hmm. That's an ick for me. I also hate when people are laughing. Like if you're out to dinner with like a big group of people and at the other end of the table, people are looking at a phone and like laughing at something and they're like, ah! And something so funny, you go, what is it? And they go, nothing.
Oh,
I hate that. I'm like, what's the joke?
Yep.
And then 9 times out of 10, they'll tell you the joke and you're like, you're right.
Or when they start to tell you like a really dramatic story and then they realize they're breaching some kind of trust, so they bring it back. Oh, you know what happened yesterday? Oh, never mind.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that.
I hate this one. So on Instagram, I hate couples that share like personal moments on their Instagram stories and caption it with something like, oh, look at my baby looking so sexy. I don't need to see that. Like, you are dating Robert, not me. And then I hate people who post selfies with like really obnoxious filters. It just,
All right, Mo. I hate when I'm on a plane and people jump up as if we're going anywhere as soon as the plane lands.
Yeah.
And now I can't get my bags.
Let me add to your plane one. On short flights, people that take their shoes off.
Ew. Oh, yeah, that's a deal breaker.
Did you see the video that's going viral of the person that got stood up and then started just like bullying and barreling their way down the aisle and pushing people out of the way?
No.
Oh, man, it is gnarly.
I hate when people either press the elevator button 45 times when it only takes one for it to work or when people won't let you get off the elevator before they get on.
Yes.
And anything that has to do with cutting off. Like if you cut me off and I'm in a car and then you start going really slow, or if we're in the middle of a serious conversation, you cut me off.
The Bird Show wakes up Atlanta.
Every morning.
The Bird Show.